husband. Good afternoon, everyone. Wow, I sound very loud. Am I very loud? Sorry. Good afternoon, everyone. Is that better? For those of you wondering, Susan and I haven't fallen off the face of the earth. We've just gone to morning services. That's why you haven't seen us. But it's good to see all of you again. It's good to see Big Mike again. Haven't seen him in quite a long while. I just want to share something with you. I got an SMS from Reno before, still like half an hour ago, saying good luck with the preaching tonight. And I have to admit, my first reply to him was, what do you mean? I'm preaching next week. I think you almost had a heart attack. I waited 30 seconds and then I had SMS, just kidding. So if he looks a bit shell-shocked when you see him, I'm sorry, that's my fault. Okay, well, it's that time of the year again. If we can go to the next slide. It's the get back in shape time of the year. It's the hit the gym so you can get fit back into your bikini or fit into your board short again time of the year. And guys, please, board shorts, no speedos, definitely. It's the time of the year when it seems like the Herbex ads are increasing in frequency. You can see Men's Health just brought out a get a beach body. You might not see the small print there. Take your shirt off in 30 days. So they got that article. Duncan, I didn't know you did modeling work. It's also the time of the year. I'm pretty sure Virgin Active will bring out their join now, get the first month for free special again. So it's sort of a crazy time of the year. But I've got bad news for you if you're on the six-week plan. The six-week plan doesn't work. It's terrible news, but I have to bring the truth in love. It just doesn't work. There are two reasons the six-week plan doesn't work. The first reason is, and it's on that picture. Oh, sorry, you can go back to back one. It says there, take your shirt off in 30 days. The first reason the six-week plan doesn't work, its goals are completely wrong. Its goals are artificial. It's about how you look. It's not about being healthy or being fit. The second reason the six-week plan doesn't work is what happens in week 7. The six-week plan doesn't really mention that. So I'm afraid I've got bad news. If you're on a six-week plan at the moment, it's not going to work. It's not enough. You know, a lot of people, they go on these six-week plans, they get in shape, but next time this year, they're in the same place again and they have to do the six-week plan all over again. So I'm going to tell you the truth now about getting into shape and staying in shape. It's a very simple, uncomplicated three-step plan. Step one, eat healthily. Step two, exercise regularly. Step three, repeat steps 1 and 2 consistently over time. That's it. If you do that, you're back in shape and you're staying in shape. This is the real secret formula to getting back into shape and staying in shape. But I see a few nervous faces. You can relax now. Tonight isn't about exercise and dieting, at least not in the way that you think. Don't get me wrong. These things are important. It's important for us to look after our bodies. We were given our bodies by God, and we need to be stewards of our bodies. But if it's important to look after our bodies, which grow old and die, how much more important is it to look after our spirits, which will last forever? It's exponentially more important. Sorry, my mouth's a bit dry. The thing is, the same principles apply, though. The same principles that you apply to living a healthy life, to having a healthy body, applies to having a healthy spirit. Only difference is whereas diet and exercise are key ingredients to living a healthy life, the word and prayer are key ingredients to living a healthy spiritual life. Now, obviously, those aren't the only things that are important for having a healthy spiritual life, but I want to say that without those two things in your life, you're not going to have a healthy spiritual life. So I want to focus on these two key ingredients this afternoon. Okay, so let's have a look at those two ingredients quickly. Just so that you don't just take my word for it that these things are important. Let's look at the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we see there that Jesus himself says that the Word of God is like bread for us. It's like food that we eat. Hebrews 5:12. "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." So again, we see there God's Word is referred to as milk, solid food. It's referred to as food that we take in. Joshua 1:8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Do you want to be prosperous and successful? Anybody? I like to be prosperous and successful. And we see there that the Word of God, meditating on it, speaking it, is vital to us being fruitful, prosperous and successful. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Does that sound like a healthy tree to you? It sounds like a healthy tree. And again, the Word of God is central to it. John 17:3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now in the beginning of John, Jesus is referred to as the Word of God made flesh. So if I can just maybe read that scripture again, taking into account the beginning of John. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and the Word whom you have sent." So we see the Word is integral to us having a healthy life, having a successful life in the kingdom of God. The other thing is prayer. Matthew 21:13. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called the house of prayer." What is the house of God? Anybody? We are. The church is the house of God, so we shall be called the house of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. "Rejoice always, pray every second day, give thanks at all..." "Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 6:18. "And pray in the Spirit when you have time with all kinds of prayers and requests." No, on all occasions. We must pray in the Spirit on all occasions. "With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So these are just a few scriptures that I've highlighted, but I mean, we can be here the whole day going through the scriptures that say how important the Word of God and prayer is to us, to our lives as Christians. So I'm just going to rest with these for now and go on from there. Now, like I mentioned earlier, in living a healthy life, there are certain principles that you need to apply. So what I want to do this afternoon is I want to look at some of those principles, and I want to see how does that apply to our spiritual lives. Now, just to give you a bit of background, about 2002, I went to America for 6 months, and I lived a good life of not exercising at all and living on takeaways pretty much continually. And when I came back, I was a little bit... You can ask my parents, they will testify to that. And it sort of stayed like that. And then by the time Susan and I got married, I sort of looked in the mirror one day and thought, you know, I wasn't about to have a heart attack unhealthy, but I was a little bit chubby and I wasn't really in shape. And I thought to myself, okay, let's just do something about this. So what I did is I just started to change my diet a little bit, to eat a little bit more healthy, and I decided to make a plan just to exercise more regularly, and I did it gradually. I didn't do the Ironman the next morning, but I sort of got into shape, and I managed to stay in shape mostly. I don't have a six pack, but I'm in decent shape. You know, I live a healthy lifestyle mostly. A six-pack wouldn't work anyway because I'm too hairy. You wouldn't see it, so it's no use. So I think I've managed to successfully apply these principles mostly. I'm not the benchmark. I think if you want to look at the benchmark of living a healthy life, eating well, exercising, I think Marnus is probably more your man. But, you know, I think I'm getting these things right. And when it comes to my spiritual life, God has been working on me in this area as well, just to be a bit more consistent in actually going to His Word, reading His Word, to be more consistent in prayer as well. And in that sense, I'm a bit more of a work in progress, but I'm getting there. I'm sort of busy cultivating a healthy lifestyle in that area as well. So that's just to give you a bit of a background about why I'm here today, why I'm bringing this message. And again, in living a healthy spiritual life, probably Marnus is also more your benchmark, shaking his head as always. But I do believe God's given me, shown me the principles to establish this healthy lifestyle. And that's what I want to share today. It's just very basic principles, stuff you can go out tonight and start applying and see results in your life. Okay, so the first principle, do an assessment. Now obviously, before you can decide you want to start living a healthy lifestyle, you need to realize that you're not living a healthy lifestyle. That's quite obvious, I would think. For me, that was that moment, you know, looking in the mirror, seeing, you know, it's not really in the best shape at the moment. But obviously the first thing is realizing that you're not in the best shape. And then the second thing is being dissatisfied with where you are. Because you can realize that you're not in good shape, but you can be like, meh, I'm not in good shape. It's not the end of the world. So you actually need to be dissatisfied as well. I have a guy who works with me. He's my height, and he's double my weight. And I'm not saying that to exaggerate. He's literally double my weight. He's a big, big guy. And you know, over the years, I've sort of tried pushing a bit there. I've tried getting him to eat better. I've tried getting him to go for a walk with me over lunch. You know, I've made an effort, and it worked for a short time, but it never really stuck. And the thing is, though, even though he knows he's not healthy, he's not dissatisfied enough with his current state to do something about it. The thing is, he's been unhealthy so long that he's sort of gotten used to it. He's sort of gotten comfortable in it. So it's not enough just to know that you're not in good shape, be it physically or spiritually, but you have to actually be dissatisfied about it. Just a quick question. When you read The Man in the Mirror, who thought of the Michael Jackson song? Okay. Kenny. Nice. So what's the spiritual application of this? Well, James 1 refers to the Word of God as a mirror that we look into. Now, seems to me like a good place to start, because the Bible is filled firstly with teachings about what a healthy spiritual life ought to look like. And it's also filled with loads of examples of people actually living those lives, people of living lives of faith. So when we go to the Bible and look at the teachings, look at the examples we see there, then we can see our lives reflected in it. You know, do I apply those principles to my life? Does my life reflect the life of Paul, of Abraham, these people of faith? And if it doesn't, you know, it means maybe there's something that you need to work on to get more healthy in your spiritual life. The next one is a test of fruit. Galatians 5:19-23. I just want to read that quickly if I have my bookmark in the right place. I don't? No, I do. Wrong bookmark. 5:19-23. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's quite a list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in a time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So the next question you do, the next thing you have to ask yourself when you're doing this assessment is, what are the fruits of your life? And, you know, back in the older days when they, in the mines, you know, carbon dioxide buildup is quite a dangerous thing, but they didn't have the equipment to really test for it back in those days. So what they would do is they'd take a canary in with them. And these canaries are quite sensitive to this buildup. So when the canary falls over and dies, that's a sign they have to get out of there. The buildup's getting too strong. And we all of us have our little canaries in our lives which tell us, you know, you're not on the right track. There's something building up that's not good. For me personally, it's traffic. It's how do I react when somebody cuts me off or somebody is driving at 100 kilometers an hour, a meter from the back of my car, which I promise you happens to me every single day that I drive to work. So it's not like a once a month test, it's a daily test. And obviously that kind of driving isn't right, it's dangerous, it's reckless, I'm not saying you should condone it, but how do I react when that happens? Do I get all aggressive or can I maintain my peace? And you know, that's one example, but you'll know what the canary in your life is that sets you off, that tells you that you're not on the right track. And if you don't, I would take a moment to try and figure out what that is so you can keep track of where you are more easily. Next thing is, in doing your assessment, is testing your level of fitness. Now, physically, that means if I'm playing with Ethan for 2 minutes and I'm on a pass out, then I'm not in the best shape, obviously. My level of fitness isn't where it should be. Spiritually, that would mean is, you know, can you overcome in your life? When you have challenges, are you able to overcome or do you struggle to overcome? Can you read the Word of God for more than 2 minutes without getting tired? Can you pray for more than 2 minutes? These are just simple little things, you know, that you can, assessments that you can do to see where you are. Now, once you've done this assessment, you know, maybe spiritually you're where I was. You know, I was a little chubby, but I wasn't really in terrible shape. I wasn't going to keel over. And maybe you just need to make a few adjustments to your life. Maybe it's not a big deal. Or maybe you find yourself in a place where my colleague finds himself, where it's just this uphill battle and you don't know how you're gonna ever overcome this, how you're ever going to get to a place where you are healthy. And I just want to give an example of a guy called Rich Roll. He wrote a book called Finding Ultra that Renaud told me about, he's been reading. And what happened to him is, he was 39 years old, on the eve of his 40th birthday, he sort of had this mirror moment where he realized he's 20 plus kilos overweight, he can't walk up a flight of stairs without having to stop, he's in terrible shape. And he had this moment and he decided he's going to change his lifestyle, he's going to get back into shape. And 2 years later, he's one of the top ultramarathon athletes in the world. Now, ultramarathon, something like a 500-kilometer marathon of swimming, running, and cycling. So it makes the comments look like a warm-up run. I mean, it's crazy what these people do. And in 2 years' time, he wasn't a competitor. He was one of the top competitors in the sport. Now, the thing is, if you look at where he started from to where he ended up, you know, it looks like an impossible task. But and I haven't read the book myself. Renaud just told me about this. But I'm sure he didn't go out the next morning thinking, I'm going to become a ultra marathon athlete. He just went out and he maybe went for a light jog and he decided he's going to just start eating a little bit better. And he just got out the door and he started doing it. Which brings me to my next principle, which is just do it. Have you heard that before somewhere? Okay. You all know the saying, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Now just go back to this guy, Rich, you know, if he had to wake up the next morning and set himself a goal of being this amazing athlete, you know, I don't know if he would have gotten out of bed that morning, but he probably just got out of bed and just started at step one. And that's the trick, is to start at step one, do step one, then focus on step two, take step two, focus on step three, etc., etc. Now that applies to getting into shape, but that also applies to getting back into shape spiritually. You know, maybe you're not reading the Word of God at all at the moment. Maybe when I read the Word here, this is the only time you actually hear the Word of God. And, you know, the point is not to go out now and to try and read through the Bible in 2 months' time. You know, just decide to start off, take 5 minutes a day. Just start with what you can manage and build from there. You know, a big reason people fail in fitness plans is they get all excited and they go out and they hit the gym hard. And they go out every day and it's sweat and running and weights and whatnot. And then 3 weeks later they crash and burn because they can't maintain that pace. And the principle here is, you know, start with what you can manage. It's not in, What you're doing the next 6 weeks is not important. It's what you're doing for the rest of your life. What you can maintain for the rest of your life, that's important. You know, the Bible speaks about the sower and the seed, and the seed that falls on the stony ground, that it starts growing immediately, but as soon as the heat of the day comes, the plant withers and dies. But then you have the seed that falls on good ground, and it takes a bit longer to get growing. It doesn't grow as fast, but that plant lasts, and that's the principle that I'm talking about here. Is, you know, start small and build from there, and build to where you want to be. Like I say, if you hardly ever pray at all, don't think you're going to attend every single intercession Thursday morning at some unreasonable hour of, I think, 5:30. You know, start praying small. You know, what I do is I have a half an hour trip to work, half an hour trip back. And what I do is I just switch off the radio and I just pray in the spirit on the way to work, on the way back. And maybe you live 5 minutes from work. So just take 5 minutes, just pray in the spirit, you know, just start somewhere. But don't wait until you figure out the perfect plan and till you're motivated before you start. The thing is just to get going. I can just testify, you know, back in Susan and I lived in Cape Town. We lived in Frederick, which is on the mountain. And I used to love going for runs on the mountain. I don't love it so much anymore because I live in Pinelands, and I find Pinelands is flat, running, soul-destroyingly boring, so I've stopped doing that. But back then, I enjoyed running. But the thing is, you know, very often I would sort of decide I want to go for a run, but I wouldn't feel like it at all. I'd be completely demotivated. I didn't want to go for a run, but I wanted to go for a run, but I didn't feel like going for a run, if that makes sense. So what I would do then, I would just get into my running shoes and just get out the door and then just start the run with every intention of going for 5 minutes, stopping and walking back. But the thing is, when I did that first 5 minutes, I sort of got into it, I got loose, and I ended up just completing the run, and often those runs were some of the best runs that I would have. Just the ones where I didn't even feel like it, I just decided to just do it, you know, like Nike says. And the same applies to spending time in the Word or spending time in prayer. You know, oftentimes I would get home from work, have dinner, and I really wouldn't feel like actually sitting down and reading the Bible now or spending time with God now. I'd rather just sit back on the couch, watch some TV, just switch off. And the thing is, when I made the decision, despite how I felt, just to take that step, just to actually start reading the Word or start praying, you know, invariably those ends up being great times I have with God. So, you know, don't just make that first step just to get into it, and yeah, don't wait till you're feeling 100% motivated. Don't wait till you have the perfect plan how to get there. It's important to have a plan, but you sort of develop the plan as you go along. Just get going. Okay, I think you get the message. So just get out the door, just get going. Third principle, you are what you eat. Yes, we all know that principle. I'm sure you've heard of the movie Super Size Me. It's about a guy who did this experiment that he was going to eat only McDonald's. He literally would eat or drink nothing that doesn't come from McDonald's for an extended period of time. And I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but it ends badly for him. He ends up being very unhealthy. And I'm not just talking about being overweight and being... I mean, he had like kidney damage or something. It was really, really bad for him. But the thing is, you know, McDonald's in and of itself is not bad. Some people might disagree, but, you know, having fast food isn't bad, but you can't live on fast food. You know, our bodies wasn't designed to live on fast food. It's designed to live on healthy foods. If you live on healthy foods and you have fast food every now and again, that's fine. But the important thing is fast food or junk food or chips or chocolates or Coke must have its right place in your life, in your diet. Otherwise, it's gonna mess up your health. Just a note, when I say diet, I'm just referring to healthy eating. I'm not referring to diet as a lot of people think about it. So, just want to change that mindset a little bit. Where was I? So yeah, we're not designed to live on junk food. We're designed to live on healthy foods, and it's important that we apply that rule. You know, we had the Olympics this year, and I love the Olympics. I love watching sport, and there's a whole bunch of things I love, but I'm sure everybody loves watching the 100-meter finals. I mean, who here didn't watch it? I'm sure everyone watched it. And, okay, one person. Really? Two people, okay. Okay, obviously Usain Bolt won, and he was amazing. He's really fast, and he's obviously a very talented guy. But imagine if he had two healthy meals in a week, and the rest of the time he lived on fast food, chips, chocolates, Coke. That's all he ate for the rest of the week. Do you think he would have won the Olympics? Even with all his talent, if he was on that diet, he wouldn't even make the Olympics. And, you know, when I give this scenario to you, you think it's crazy. But how often have we done that? You know, we come to church, that's one healthy meal. We go to small group, that's two healthy meals. And that's it. That's the spiritual food we get for this week. And we think we're going to... Then we expect to... And we wonder why we're not overcoming our lives, why we're struggling with things, why we're not living in the fullness of what God has intended for us. The reason is because you are what you eat. If you eat of the world, you're going to be like the world. If you eat of God, you're going to be like God. It's a very simple principle. And I'm not standing here in judgment. I mean, I've been in that place where I've had my two healthy meals a week. And I can testify, eating more healthy now spiritually, it makes a difference. And the Bible says we must not be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you're going to eat of the world, you're going to be conformed to the world. If the input you're getting is television, internet, Facebook, books, magazines, but you're not getting input from the Word of God through prayer, then you're going to become like the world. You're not going to be transformed into what God has intended us to be. The only way to be transformed is to spend time in the prayer, in the Word, and spend time in prayer. Earlier this year, September, I went on a guys' weekend. We went camping at, Cedarburg, and it's about a 3-hour drive there. And I'm not exaggerating. Two of those hours, the guys spent talking about healthy eating and dieting, and it didn't stop there. It continued through the weekend. Loki can back me up on this. There was no end. And I was so brainwashed after that weekend that I actually came back and I made a few biggest changes in the way I ate. Like one thing, I was eating too much bread, for instance. Like again, bread's not bad, but I was eating too much of it. So I think I cut that in half or something and just substituted it with some other foods. I stopped having sugar in my coffee altogether. And those guys did a number on me. And the thing is, you know what, after a while, I could feel the difference. I felt lighter, and I don't mean I lost weight. I felt lighter. I mean I felt lighter. My body felt lighter, and the thing is, I was so used to eating a certain way that I didn't realize. I was so used to how that made me feel that I didn't realize it wasn't ideal for me. And only when I changed the way I ate could I feel this was actually more how I'm supposed to feel. And the same applies to us. You know, often we're so used to being in the world, being fed by the world, that we don't realize how unhealthy it is until you actually make that change to start spending more time in the Word of God, to start distancing yourself from the world more, spending more time in the Word of God, and only then you realize what you're actually supposed to feel like, what life is actually supposed to feel like. And I can just testify for myself. Confession time. Susan and I, when we got married, we had a TV, but we didn't have like an aerial, so we watched DVDs on it. And then when the Soccer World Cup came, we got an aerial so we could watch the soccer, and we sort of just kept going from there. And then when Susan's grandmother passed away, we inherited a DSTV decoder, and it's been downhill from there. And God has actually recently been convicting me to actually step away from that, and I've mostly been obedient. And I've been spending more time in the Word of God, and I can just testify, the same as changing the way I ate, I felt better. The same way, just changing my spiritual diet, I can see the fruit of that in my life as well. You know, stuff I would struggle with, all of a sudden not struggling with anymore. stuff that I struggled to overcome, I'm walking in victory, and all of a sudden, and it's just because I tweaked my diet, in a sense. Now, the biggest challenge with that, though, is your appetite. Now, when I fast, which isn't often, another confession time. Now, the thing that gets to me is not that I get hungry. I don't really get hungry, but what gets to me is when I get to work in the morning and I really feel like a cup of coffee. The thing that gets to me are the cravings, not really the hunger. And when you're changing your physical diet as well, the thing that gets to you is not really that you're hungry because you're eating enough, but you're craving certain foods that your appetite is used to. And it takes a bit of time for your appetite to adjust to this new diet. And the trick is to sort of hold on in that time. And the same applies to us spiritually. If you're used to watching 2 hours of TV every night, and you decide you're going to stop that and start spending time in the Word and in prayer, you know, you're going to, when you sort of, if you do it like I do after we've had dinner, if you get to that point, you're going to have that craving to just sit in front of the TV and watch TV. And the point is, the trick then is to have the discipline and the resolve to push through that time, to give your appetite the opportunity to change, because it takes a while to change. But it does. Fourth principle, make a plan. You also all know the saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, which it's true. You know, just for me, when I, all those years back, decided I want to live a more healthy life, one big thing is just to plan my meals for the next day, because what often happens is I wouldn't really pay attention to it, so I would get to work, not having packed a lunch, I would go get a pie or a burger or something. So I decided I'm just going to actually plan how I'm going to eat the next day. So pack a lunch every day. And not only is that better for your health, it's actually much better for your budget as well. So I do recommend it. And the same applies to the Word of God and to prayer. You know, if what I do is, what works for me is I plan to, from say 7:30 or from 8, to spend a certain amount of time, just give that time to God, whether it's praying or in the Word. And because I plan it, I'm more likely to stick to it. But if my approach was, I'm going to get home, have the intention of spending time with God, but not really plan when I'm going to do it, it's more likely that something's going to come up and I'm not going to do it. So it's important that we plan these things. You need to tailor make your plan for yourself. You know, that's true to just general fitness or general health, physical health. You know, Kenny likes running. I don't like running. Kenny's plan's not going to work for me, even though it works for him. So you need to develop a plan that works for you. And again, the same applies to spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer. Susan recently deleted Facebook off her phone, and in its place she got like a Bible app that takes you to read the Bible through a year. So what she does when she gets into bed at night, she just goes through, she reads the Bible, she reads the verses or the chapters that's allocated to her for the day, and that's how she reads the Word, and it works for her. You know, for me, I like to sit with a physical book in my hand and to read the Bible. And you know, her way isn't right, my way wrong, the other way around. It's just, you need to figure out what works for you and apply it. You can learn from other people, but, you know, figure out what works for you. That's the important thing. And when I say figure out what works for you, that doesn't mean, okay, I like the Word, but I don't like praying. I say that with prayer and Word as the givens. But how you spend time in prayer, how you spend time in the Word, that's what you need to figure out for yourself. You know, consult the experts. You know, go to people that you see are getting this right and find out from them what are they doing to, how is it working for them. You know, with fitness, for instance, or training, there's a lot of technical things that you can learn. Kathleen is nodding. That's what she does for a living. That'll help you, just knowledge that'll help you how to actually train better, become more fit. And the same applies to us. There are people who are more skilled at spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer, either through experience or through a gifting. So go to those people and learn from them. Then the next step is adapt and grow. Just from a workout point of view, what I'm doing this year is not what I did a year ago, and it's not what I did 2 years ago, and it's probably not what I'll be doing in a year's time. And again, the same applies to how you spend time in the Word and in prayer. You know, what you're doing at the moment may not necessarily work for you in a year's time. Maybe it does. But the thing is, you must be open enough to realize when it isn't working and to adapt to where you need to go with your plan. Is everybody still with me? Is this making sense? Good. Fifth principle, get a training buddy. I think a lot of you will know this principle and just exercising. You know, if you plan to go run 5 mornings a week at 6 a.m, you know, if you're doing it on your own and you wake up on Monday morning and it's 6 o'clock, your alarm goes off and you just go, nah, I'm going to sleep on. But if you have a training buddy, if you said to your friend, I'm going to meet you at Newlands Forest at 6, we're going to go running, then you're not going to just switch off your alarm. You're going to actually get up because your friend's waiting there for you. And then maybe then on the Wednesday when you're supposed to go running, maybe you're all up for it, your friend doesn't feel like it. But again, your friend goes because he or she made a commitment to meet you there. And in that way, actually, because you are training together, you end up being more effective than you would be training on your own. And at the same time, again, applies to us in the church. Now, I can stand here today and tell you truthfully, there were times where being committed to a church and to a small group were the only things that kept me going. If it wasn't for that, I don't think I would be standing here today. I wouldn't be where I am in the Lord today. Obviously, that's not the ideal. Obviously, like I said, the 2 healthy meals a week is not the ideal. But I can tell you there were times when those were the things that carried me, because I was committed to a church and I was committed to a small group. And there's a difference between attending church, a small group, and being part of a church or a small group. Now, the Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ. And now, if you have a body where there's a hand lying over there and a foot over there and a nose there at the back, that's not, I think you all realize, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not a healthy body right there. And it's the same with the body of Christ, you know. We're all supposed to be one and connected. So it's important that we follow that principle given to us by God, and that we form part of a body, that you're connected and slotted into the church, into small group. You know, when we all have blind sides. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And if you're on your own, there's nobody who can cover your weakness. But if you're connected to other people, you have somebody who can look out for you, who can look out for your weakness. Snaman and I, for instance, are praying together Thursday mornings. And we're two very different people in a lot of ways. He's an extremely driven person. But his weakness is that if he's not careful, he can be so driven that he doesn't live in the moment and he doesn't know how to switch off and relax. Now, for me, switching off, relaxing comes naturally. I don't have any problems with that. But for me, a weakness, if I'm not careful, is I can become complacent or I can react or be reactive rather than proactive. So the two of us together, actually, you know, we actually cover our weaknesses very well in that sense. And it's important to have people around you that can that have your back, you know, that look out for you. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. We need to come alongside each other so we can help each other and carry each other's burdens. You know, maybe there's a time when you're going through a bad time and you need somebody else to be strong for you. Or maybe there's another time where you are strong and you need to help carry somebody else that's going through a bad time. You know, just with our sending Grant today, Grant and I used to pray together back in Cape Town, I think it was like for a year or something, every Friday morning on Cableway. And you know what, that changed my life. That was an amazing time. And it's just having that training buddy, in a sense, helps you just to reach a new level spiritually. sixth principle, and it's the last one I'll be looking at, knowing when to rehab. Now, I've mentioned now that being in shape is not about a six-week plan, whether physically or spiritually. But there are times when you need to stop and actually do a six-week plan. I'm not contradicting myself. It's the so that you can go on with your healthy lifestyle, you need to sometimes do a six-week plan to get to a place where you can do that. You know, a few years back, I injured my shoulder in training, and I went to Janet, actually, to do some physio work on it. And the first thing she did is she helped me fix the shoulder, which is fine now. But the second thing she did is that she actually identified a weakness in my shoulder and showed me exercises I need to do to fix that, to prevent injuring it in the future. Now, if I'd ignored this, I could have just maybe let it rest for a few weeks and got going again, and I would have just hurt my shoulder over and over, and I never would have progressed in any way. But because I identified this injury as something out of the ordinary, and I went to Janet and I had it fixed, not only was I fine to go on, but I actually knew how to prevent injuring it in the future as well. And for us spiritually, you know, the same applies. You know, maybe you're trying to apply these principles, but something happened to you in your life that you've been injured, and you actually you just can't apply these principles. You just can't live this healthy life. It's important then to recognize that and to have that treated in a sense. You know, that's why we have personal healing ministry. Or even if you don't want to do personal healing ministry, just go to a friend that you trust. Go to your small group leader, to your zone coach. Somebody in church, just speak to them about it and have this, identify this and have this sorted so that you can actually go on and grow in your relationship with God. Okay, those are just a few principles. They're not all-encompassing, but just a few things that I wanted to share with you this afternoon. You know, the bottom line about a healthy Christian life, it comes down to a healthy relationship with God. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So, you know, I hammered on about reading the Word and praying. But reading the Word, you know, Susan, for instance, obviously we're in a relationship, surprise. But we wouldn't have much of a relationship if I didn't listen to her at all. Sometimes maybe she thinks I don't listen, but I do listen. And again, we wouldn't have a relationship if I didn't speak to her. And really, that's the essence of it. You know, reading the Word of God is the primary way we listen to God. Yes, He speaks to us in other ways as well, but you cannot listen to God if you don't read the Word of God. You cannot hear Him properly if you don't read the Word of God. And obviously, praying is how we speak to God. So if you want to have a relationship with God, you need to listen, read the Word, and you need to speak to Him, you need to pray. So that's actually what it comes down to. So I've given you a whole bunch of principles now, and I just want to ask you the question, you know, are you living a life in abundance at the moment? Now, Jesus said that He came to give life and life in abundance. And a healthy life is life in abundance. And if you aren't, you know, maybe it's just because you're not spending enough time in the Word of God, you're not spending enough time in prayer. Are you in shape that you need to be to do what God has called you to do? You know, I mentioned Usain Bolt. I believe he was destined to be this amazing athlete. But with all the talent that he received, if he wasn't in shape, he wouldn't be able to perform the way he performs. And you know, God has called us to do amazing things in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in Rondebosch, in Cape Town, in South Africa. But are we in shape to actually do the things that God has called us to do? And if we aren't, we need to just recognize that. You know, don't be all condemned now and feel bad. You know, just do that step one. Just start reading the Word, just start praying the next, tomorrow morning. You just get going. And the last thing is, if we can all just close our eyes and just want to finish the service. Now, there's no healthy life without life. Now, a baby that's still in his mother's womb doesn't worry about living a healthy life. Its parents don't worry about living a healthy life. You know, you worry about that when you get born. And the same applies to us. You know, you There's no point worrying about living a healthy spiritual life if you're not living spiritual life. And the beginning of spiritual life is to be born again. Now Jesus makes it clear that we need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So maybe you're sitting here this afternoon and maybe you're not born again. Maybe you've never reached that point where you've given your life to Jesus. And I just want to give that opportunity for you if you are at that place to give your to take that step. You know, I took that step, sure, it's 14 years ago now, and it's by far the best decision I've ever made. And my life has changed, you know, amazingly since then. I've received life for the first time. I've received true life. And that's God's wish for every person here. God says He desires all men to be saved. There's nobody that's beyond His love, that's beyond His grace, that He cannot save. So if you're here this afternoon and you want to take that step, you know, I just want you to be bold and just to raise your hand. Now, I did that 14 years ago and it felt like I was going to die, but I didn't. I lived. And I stood up publicly and I decided to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if you're sitting here and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging you, you feel like an urging to respond to this, and if you're feeling that urging right now, I would encourage you to be bold and just to respond and to raise your hand. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the service. If anybody wants to come forward for prayer, I'm going to hang around for a bit. But I just want to encourage you, just go out there and just get out the door. Just start living a healthy life. Just start taking step one if you're not there at the moment. And I promise you, if you just get going and keep going with what you can manage, in no time you'll be living a healthy life. And I can testify to that, and I just want to encourage you to do that as well. God bless you, and I hope you have a good day further. Thanks.